before we turn toward our musical themes, I'd like us just to consider very, very briefly, just a couple minutes, what I had already made reference to in Hebrews chapter 10. This was on schedule for Sunday evening, but I think we're going to, we are going to change that, I believe, to Mark and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But for tonight, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I think maybe some of us do that have been around a while, and we have heard this call over and over again, and we can hear it and maybe take it very lightly, that we have been called to draw near. What an awesome thing. The very presence of God open to us. Now, here on earth, I don't know if you're special in some ways or in some circles, but if you're the average person like me, you probably don't have a lot of clout to move and to shake. If you were to call somebody with power or position and, Mr. President, we want to have a talk with you, you're probably not going to be given access. We have very limited ability to reach the people of importance and of power and of fame. Every once in a while in life, I get an in, and into places that normally you can't get, and it often comes because you happen to stumble across somebody that you know, and doors open. My wife, in the business that she does, and there was somebody that she had hired that we found out a little bit later as we got to know him, that he worked at Giant Stadium. Now it's MetLife, but what used to be Giant Stadium, where the Giants and the Jets play, which is right down the street from us. And he says, "Oh, I work in this restaurant and club, and if you want to come down sometime, just let me know, and I can get you in there." And this is a very exclusive section of the stadium that you need special tickets, and oftentimes they run into the thousands of dollars to get in that section and then access its restaurant. And so I thought, I'm going to find a way to get down there and get tickets. And so we did somehow work that out. Actually, I think it was a preseason game. And so we let him know we'd be coming that night. He says, "Well, just tell him at the door." And so we walked up a little bit nervous, because you kind of have that fear, like you'll be turned away. But we went and said, "We're friends of so-and-so." And he said that if we just let you know that we'd have access. And he says, "Oh, sure, come on in." And really, really fun. Right down on ground level behind the visitor's bench, and you could actually walk right out on the field behind their bench. And there was a barrier there, but it was maybe from here to there, where we're watching Tim Tebow. It was the Eagles, when they were kind of testing that out. And he's standing right there, and the rest of their team, they're just like almost touchable, and all the food just access. Once you're in there, they assumed you paid big money for those tickets, not like us. And so they put out, and I'm talking shrimp and lobster and steak and people in there, chefs and all of that at a football game. right? And so we spent our whole time there and watched the game on TV just so we can be in the club there and enjoy all that food. Because we knew somebody. My son and I, over some years, we have an interest in golf. I've talked a lot about golf. I don't play that often. I'd like to, but we've been able over the years. We tried to get to one of the four major golf tournaments in the year if they're somewhere reachable. Like this weekend, we're missing a big one, but we couldn't go there anyway because it's the British Open, and that'd be kind of difficult. And so we haven't gotten to the British Open yet, but we've done the U.S. Open, and we've done a lot of the PGA Championships, and we've traveled different places in this region, and some of them are really hard to get into. And it's a phenomenal thing if you're interested in golf. It's just the production of it is phenomenal, and the months and months and even years of preparation. We were down in Florida in March, and they were said we got to play TPC Sawgrass. Anybody golf, like, know what I'm talking about? Or am I wasting my time? Okay, I'll talk to you, Brother Jim. We played TPC Sawgrass, which is a big deal, right? And they were playing the tournament the month after, and we were playing with all the stands up all around the golf course. You're coming down, you could, they were empty, but you know, you had this vision of grandeur. But it's spectacular what they do, and if you can get access. And then they have all these sponsor tents that are just big money, big corporate. I mean, this is into the millions and millions of dollars that they put on these productions just on the course. And so they're playing in New Jersey next month, the PGA Championship, not far from our home, about a half an hour or so. So we already had some plans. I talked to my son John and Chris. I said, well, maybe we can get down there and find some tickets, and we can get to one of the days that they're playing that tournament right there. The big names. I mean, this is a championship. And I says, we'll see how it works out if I can get tickets. And so I got a text today from a friend. She's a vice president of a bank on Long Island, one of their divisions. And she says, you know anybody who needs tickets? She was kind of pulling my leg a little bit because she knows me. And she says, you know anybody that needs tickets for the PGA Championship? And she says, I don't know who to give them to. And I says, well, I'm going whether you give it or not. And then she said, I've got tickets. And she says, when you go, and I didn't bring my phone, but I did write down her text. I have it on record. She says, use my name to get into the 18th Green Chalet, our VIP tent. And so I can't wait to get there and use her name. And it's another one of those deals where it's this big corporate, and while it's hot out, they're all air conditioned, they've got spreads of food and everything. I mean, it's great. And you sit inside and eat and then watch it on TV again. It's what we do. But you feel kind of this access. And so in this world, you need a connection. You need somebody, because I just can't walk in and say, I'm John Praugh, let me in. They want to know there's somebody that can work that deal and stands between me and that's a maybe poor illustration of Hebrews 10. But we've been called not to a sports deal or a concert or a president or a king. We've been called into the very presence of God. And we're told here that our access is his son, Jesus Christ. So when we come, I don't come and say, I'm John Praugh, let me in. We come low and humble and say, I'm coming because Jesus Christ has given me access. He has made a way for me to be here. And the writer here gives us several reasons and setups, and we've been talking about several even before tonight, but he lays this all out and says, here is why we have access. This is what Jesus has done, which is why, again, he starts, therefore and since. It's based on the arguments that he's already been making. And we have confidence now to come because of the work that was done for us. And so we're called to this fellowship, not at a distance, but to draw near and to commune and to get close. This is not only an invitation. This is a command. for all those that know God, this is his call. Like my daughter said, I didn't realize it had that kind of effect on my children all these many years later. And she really does. She still does. If we call and, you know, it's not even a big deal. We just say, you know, hey, and they'll just come right in. And I didn't realize that it was just fear, love. I don't know what it is. I feel almost a little bad now. But this call from God is a command. Come. Come. And in this relationship, it's not something God doesn't want at a distance. And this is all his mercy and his grace and his love, because God doesn't need us to come. Do you think that God in his triune being is somehow incomplete unless we come? That he needs something to fulfill in himself by our presence? Is he eternally self-existent and fully complete before we were created? Or was there something lacking in God until he spoke man into existence? Of course, we know that's not the case. God didn't need anything to fulfill or complete who he is. And so if he didn't need it eternity past, he doesn't need it now, and he doesn't need it eternity future, that somehow we will complete him if we come. And, oh, he's just waiting and longing, and just he can't function without us. He needs nothing of us other than by calling us and inviting us. He himself is now glorified and reveals all of mercy and grace and love and compassion and forgiveness. And it just glorifies him and magnifies him. And so what an awesome thing that for my sake, he commands, come. Throughout all of his word, the call, even to the very end, right at the end of Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. If you're thirsty, come. Draw near. And so we come with this confidence that Jesus Christ has done that work. We don't come with fear like we did to Giant Stadium and say, I hope this works. I hope we got the right guy at the door when we use this name, that he's going to let us in, or we'll be really embarrassed and we'll be put to shame. We come with confidence. We don't shy away. If you're in sin, he calls, come. He'll deal with that. And so whatever position, whatever state, wherever we are, the call of God to come and to fellowship with him and to commune with him, it is for us. And so let's consider, not just here, because this isn't come to church. This isn't come to an altar. It's not come to Pilgrim Camp. It's come to him. And so it may be on the Long Island Expressway in a traffic jam that's making me crazy. I can come. It may be in a classroom, and I can shut out all the things around me, not while the lecture's going on, but, and I can come. I can come on my job and the busyness of my day. I can come lying in a hospital bed. He calls us to come. And so I encourage you, along with this writer to the Hebrews, come. In your white hymnals, number 7, and then we'll ask those who are going to minister tonight in song, you come and share with us. Number 7 in the camp hymnal. Why don't we stand as we sing?
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.